In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. And then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and do not be afraid." When the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
O God, who have commanded us to listen to your beloved Son, be pleased, we pray, to nourish us inwardly by your word, that with spiritual sight made pure, we may rejoice to behold your glory.
I'd like to begin today with a question that I'd like you to think about, which is, what do you want? Like dreaming big, like what is your dream? If you could have your biggest dream right now, what would that be? I want you to think about that. I'm not gonna grill you about it. This is just for you. But what is it that you really want? I want you to kind of ponder that. It's something we don't really often think about because there's kind of a scarcity of genies and magic lamps around that would grant such a thing. But it's good to have kind of a vision for life and where your heart really is. So I'm gonna give you a couple seconds to think about that. What do you want? What is your dream? Okay, now a follow-up question. If you got your dream, if it suddenly came true, how many people would that affect? How many people would benefit from your dream? Now, I want you to think about these things, there's no judgment on any of these dreams here. You know, a lot of things go into influencing your dreams. If daylight savings time hit you particularly hard this year, your dream might be to have a cup of coffee, you know, at this moment. About 40 minutes from now, that dream can become a reality right out there. So that would be a good one to have. But a lot of things can go into influencing what I'm dreaming for, what I want in this moment. If I'm going through a particular time of suffering or pain, a lot of times that really hones in my dream. My dream is for that to end. You know, what I want is for that to be gone. I want healing or help or whatever I need. If I'm worried, then that too can like narrow down the focus of my dream, of my want. I want the source of my anxiety to be solved, to be alleviated, you know. I think of that because people's dreams have been influenced by the Lord and in these scripture stories that we have today. First, we have Abram and his encounter with God, receiving promises that really expand whatever dreams he might have had for his life. We don't know what Abram had planned for his life before this encounter with God that he has today. Maybe he just, I don't know, wanted to somehow carve out his own little niche in the world, have his little farm, do whatever he wanted to do. It doesn't seem like having children was part of his dream anymore, because he's about 75 when this encounter happens. He's assuming that ship has sailed, and that's not going to be a part of his life anymore. But somehow he encounters God. We don't know what that encounter exactly looked like, but Abram, after his encounter with God, he realizes that that there's going to be generations that come from him. You know, God tells him, he somehow experiences from God that your generations will be like the stars in the sky. And we're actually a part of those stars. We are a part of Abram's descendants. I'll get to that a little bit more later. Okay, but Abram, we call him our father in faith because there's a consistent thing that Abram does. He experiences something from God, some kind of a statement, a promise, a call, and then he acts on it. Abram hears, Abram believes, Abram does. You know, and he consistently does that. Even despite adversity, even despite situations he doesn't necessarily seem to understand, he's just like, okay, this is from the Lord, and I go. And God expands Abram's desire. He expands what he wants, what he's looking for. And Abram moves forward in hope, really consistently. And then we have a similar story in our gospel with this message of the Transfiguration. The important thing about the Transfiguration is the story that went just before it. Because just before the Transfiguration is where Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that I am, and who do you say that I am? And then Peter has his famous confession, you are the Christ. And then Jesus says, you're right, I am the Messiah, and the Messiah will suffer and die and then be raised. And Peter can't receive that. He says, no, that's not the way this is supposed to happen. That's not what a Messiah does. So what Peter wanted, what Peter was looking for, was the restoration of his beloved Israel, who had been suffering under oppression for 5 centuries at least. And he thought, Jesus, you're the Messiah. You're the one that's going to restore us. You're the new David, you know? And so that's what he wanted. He wanted this, his dream that he was looking forward to coming to reality in Jesus was that he would restore their national pride again, restore their pride of place. But Jesus says, Peter, that dream is actually way too small. You know, you're thinking of just restoring this political entity or something like that. But what I'm about here is transforming the human race. You know, there's something way beyond what you're thinking. And remember all the way back to Abram and the promise that his progeny would be like the stars in the sky. What happens in Jesus is a major expansion of that whole project. You know, to where it's not just this nation in the Middle East, but Israel becomes the whole human family who believes. And that starry night of Christians, the starry sky full of believers, full of people who are the descendants of Abram, who are our father in faith, and those following the path of the Lord, it's now continuing to expand throughout the world today. We are a part of that expansion. And so my point here today is our desires can be influenced, our dreams can be influenced by a lot of things. And they can be limited by a lot of things. They can be limited by my hunger, by my pain, or just by my limited experience. And I can be tempted to dream way too small about what I want, about what I'm looking for in this life. And so this leads to our third question, which is one that I want you to take home with you this week, take with you into your prayer, into your contemplation. And that is, in talking with the Lord, rather than try to figure out what do I want, have a conversation with him about what do we want. Lord, you and I, you and my family, you and my church, you and my community, what do we want? Open my mind and my heart so that I can see a bigger vision than I would get to on my own. Just like you did with Abram, just like you did with Peter, James, and John, when you showed them beyond their limited vision and showed them something bigger, showed them something that they're connected to. Lord, what do we want? How are we going to solve some of the problems that our generation is facing? How are you and I together, Lord, going to help to restore communication between like political parties that are breaking down? Lord, how are you and I going to solve issues of poverty and struggle? How are you and I going to bring healing and light to the people around us? How are you and I going to do that? And so, Lord, we ask you to open our hearts and our minds today. Just as you did up on that hilltop with Peter, James, and John, when you showed them your glory, help us to see your glory in the midst of our prayer as well. Share with us your vision and expand our own so that we can see what you're calling us to be.